Luke chapter 1, as we continue, it has 80 verses in it. I think we might make it to the end of chapter 1 tonight. I think this is like the fifth week that we've been in it. So if it takes us 5 weeks for all 24 chapters in Luke, we'll be 2 years studying this book. So I don't know if it'll take us that long or not. They're not all quite as long. But we're going to start in verse 56 tonight. Yeah, so far, we've talked about Gabriel appearing to Zacharias and telling him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a little baby boy and name him John. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, turn many of Israel back to the Lord. We've talked about Gabriel's appearance to Mary and that she was going to have a little boy, name him Jesus. He was going to be called the Son of God, sit on the throne of David, reign over Judah forever. Of course, she had not known man, asked how could it be, and he said it's going to be the work of the Holy Ghost. Then we talked about, and Gabriel told Mary when he told her what was going to happen and said that Elizabeth, and I don't think Mary knew this, Elizabeth was also having a little boy, and she was 6 months pregnant. So when Mary heard that, she left her hometown, went to Elizabeth's house, and we talked about how Elizabeth's little boy, John, jumped in her womb when he heard Mary's voice, and how Elizabeth just broke into praise for God that the mother of the Lord, the mother of the Messiah, would come and visit her. Last week, after Elizabeth said that, we looked at what Mary said, her song to God, her praise to God about what he had done in her life. So we start in verse 56 tonight where the Bible says, "And Mary abode with her," with Elizabeth and Zacharias, "about 3 months and returned to her own house." So if she was 6 months pregnant when Mary got the word, 3 months longer would be 9 months. And so Elizabeth was about to have her baby. Some people read that verse and say, well, Mary must have went home before Elizabeth had the baby. I think Luke was just trying to finish up one part of the story before he moved to the next one. Because in verse 58, it says that her cousin, her neighbors and her cousins came and rejoiced with her. I sort of think that Mary stayed. I can't see her coming and staying for 3 months right till the baby was born and then going home before John was born. So I think she was there when John was born. But I was thinking this afternoon, can you imagine the fellowship that these two ladies had for that 3 months? Each of them expecting a miracle baby. Each of them expecting a son. That both of them were going to play critical roles in God's plan of redemption. And I think they just had a sweet, sweet time of fellowship those 3 months that they were together. Of course, ladies, you'll appreciate this. Zachariah was dumb, so he couldn't talk. All he could do was just sit there and listen, and these two ladies could just talk all they wanted to and didn't have to worry about Elizabeth's husband butting in. So I think they just had a sweet, sweet time of fellowship. And I think after the baby was born, Mary went home. And I think, and now she would have been 3 months pregnant at that point. And so I think it's probably when she went home that Joseph first found out about Mary being pregnant. And if we go to the book of Matthew, when he found out, he was willing to, he wanted to put her away because he thought she had been unfaithful. But an angel came to him, angel not named, probably was Gabriel, since he seems to be the messenger angel, and told Joseph that, no, this is the work of God, and Joseph took her to be his wife. And so I think all that happened after Mary got back from visiting Elizabeth. Verse 57, so now we talk about the birth of John the Baptist. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Verse 58, and her neighbors and cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Again, her neighbors, those that were there close, most of her cousins probably lived far away and had to come. And so when that verse says they rejoiced, I think it was a time of continual rejoicing for a while. I think the neighbors rejoiced. In fact, the Greek word there for rejoiced can mean rejoice, continuing to rejoice as they came, so to speak. And so as people came and visited Elizabeth, they rejoiced with her, and they rejoiced, again, because God had removed reproach from that family. Remember, children were a blessing from God, And if you had a child, when you were married, you had a child, God was showing his blessing. And so he had showed great mercy upon that couple and on Elizabeth and Zacharias by giving them a child. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Now, the law was, or the Jewish law was, the eighth day was when you circumcised a son. And so they were keeping the law when they did that. And so they came to the house. The circumcision didn't have to be done in the temple. It could be done anywhere. It could be done by anybody. It wasn't done by a priest or anything like that. And so they came to circumcise, and they usually, at the same time that a little boy was circumcised, they named him on that eighth day. Probably goes back to Abram. When he was circumcised, God changed his name to Abraham. And so probably that started this this naming the child, the son, when he was circumcised. And just like in other cultures, it was very common for a Jewish mother and father and mother, to name their firstborn son after dad. And so when the family came, when the relatives came, when the neighbors came, for the circumcision rite, their assumption was, and they started talking about it, well, this old boy's going to be called Zacharias because that's what his dad is named. In verse 60, and his mother answered and said, "Not so." And that "not so" is a strong negative response. When they started talking about, well, sure, you're going to name this old boy Zacharias. "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There's none of thy kindred that is called by this name." So they said, why would you call him John? There's nobody in the family by that name. So you're not naming him after anybody. Why would you call him John? Verse 62, and they made signs to his father. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about Zacharias being deaf, just that he was dumb. So I don't know what signs mean. I mean, they could have just asked him, but maybe because he couldn't talk, they thought they had to communicate with him, you know, with sign language. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. You see, Zacharias couldn't put in his two cents when everybody started saying, well, we're going to call him Zacharias, because he still was dumb. He still could not speak. And so Elizabeth had to do the speaking. And I'm sure that Zacharias told Elizabeth about the visit from Gabriel. And part of that recounting of that visit from the angel was, when we have this little boy, Elizabeth, the angel said to name him John. Now, again, he probably had to do that through writing, so I don't know how long it took him to, you know, record the whole thing. And so there wasn't any question in Elizabeth's mind that when the little baby boy was going to be born, he wasn't going to be named Zacharias, he was going to be called John. So they went to his dad to make sure that what mom said was true. Zacharias, you're not going to call him after yourself? And I'm sure some of his male relatives couldn't understand that. Hey, you're old. You're probably not going to have another son. This is your only chance to name this boy after yourself. Why would you call him John? So they went to dad, and verse 63, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." I mean, I think I think he wrote it in all capital letters and put an exclamation mark out of it. His name is John. You don't need to ask anymore. You don't need to talk about it anymore. His name is John. And they marveled all. Well, I can't believe it. Why would he name? This is the only chance to name a son after himself. Why would he call him John? There's nobody in the family named John. Then look what happened next in verse 64. Remember, he was struck dumb because he didn't believe what Gabriel said. He didn't believe the message from God. He said, "No, we're too old. They've been praying." So I thought about this, Judy, when you were sharing your testimony. You know, we pray for something, and we pray for something, and we pray for something, and then sometimes we're shocked when God does it. I mean, we can't believe. Why? And I think it's because, why would God do that for us? Well, he loves us. That's why he would do it for us. And so, but Zacharias did not believe the angel. And so Gabriel said, because you don't believe God, not me, because you don't believe God, you're not going to be able to speak till the little baby's born. And so in verse 64, when he wrote, his name is John, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. When he was obedient, I think if he would have named that little boy something else, he would have been dumb the rest of his life. But when he was obedient to what Gabriel told him to do, when he was obedient to God, God said, okay, you paid the price for your disbelief. I'm going to let you talk. And he began to praise God. Now, we're going to talk about Zacharias' praise down in verse 68. But notice how everybody else reacted. And fear came on all that dwelt about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. That fear was a reverence awe. His neighbors, those that lived about him, knew that God was at work. They knew that this couple was too old to have children. They knew it was a work of God. They knew that something had happened. I don't know how many of them Zacharias and Elizabeth explained to, probably not many, that something happened to Zacharias when he came out of the temple from burning that incense. So they knew something had happened. And now, after being dumb, not being able to speak for 9 months, immediately, His voice is restored, and he begins to praise God. And so the neighbors, those that lived about him, said, hey, God's at work in this family. God's going to do something special with this child. And notice what it says, was noised abroad throughout all the people began to talk about it. I mean, I can just see it. Hey, did you hear what happened to Zacharias? They had their little, but did you hear what happened to Zacharias? He couldn't talk. As soon as a little baby was born and he wrote his name as John, he began to talk again. God is at work. And here's what, verse 66. And all they that heard them, heard about these things that had happened to Zacharias and Elizabeth, laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? They began to ask, they asked a question after they heard all of this. I mean, the miracle surrounding his birth, the fact that his dad couldn't speak, the fact that after 9 months when the baby was born, God restored Zachariah's ability to speak. What kind of kid is this going to be? God must have special plans for him. And I think these neighbors kept their eye on John. Now, again, Zacharias and Elizabeth was old when they had John. So I don't know how long he had his parents. I don't know how long they lived after John was born. I think he stayed with his parents until they died, and then we're going to read about he went out to the wilderness for a number of years, and we don't know anything about his life until he comes as the forerunner of Christ 30-some years later from here and begins to prepare the way of the Lord. But I think the neighbors, when he was growing up as a little boy, said, we're going to keep our eye on this guy. God's going to use him for something special. God has to because of the miracles that surrounded his birth, because of the things that happened. So they laid up in their hearts. In other words, they said, we're going to remember this, and we're going to keep our eye on this little boy. And notice what it says in verse 66. And this is a testimony of John the Baptist's life. And the hand of the Lord was with him. He was full of the Holy Ghost from the womb. And the hand of the Lord was with him. And the hand of the Lord would be with him the rest of his life. And here's what I was thinking. Did John the Baptist have free will? Did John the Baptist have choice? And of course, the answer to that is, yes, he did. He was a human being just like us. He was flesh and blood, had an earthly father and earthly mother. Now, they were godly parents, and I'm sure that Zacharias told John often the story of Gabriel visiting him in the temple, talking about that this little boy was going to be born. I'm sure John heard that story from his dad. Just think about it. If you were Zacharias, wouldn't you tell your son? I would. I would tell him that God has picked him out to do something special in his plan. And so Zacharias was a priest, and so he was raised by godly parents. He was told the story of his birth, and he had a choice. I mean, he had a choice as to what he was going to do with his life. He had free will, just like every one of us do. But he chose. He chose to be that vessel that God wanted to use. He chose to be to fill the role that God wanted him to fill in God's plan. God didn't force him to do that. He made that choice, just like each one of us have the choice to follow God's will for our life, to do what God wants us to do. So when it says, and the hand of the Lord was with him. The hand of the Lord was with him when he was born. The hand of the Lord was with him when he filled him with the Holy Ghost from the womb. The hand of the Lord was with him as he grew in the sight of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with him as he became the man that God wanted him to become and turned many in Israel toward the Lord. He had free will. All right, verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. So, again, he had just written, his name is John. His tongue was loosed. He could speak, and he began to praise God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Zacharias, again, had spent 3 months with Mary and Elizabeth. Couldn't say anything, but he could listen. And I'm sure that Mary talked about her visit from Gabriel over and over. I mean, look, these ladies were human beings. They were flesh and blood. And God had done something wonderful in their life. I sort of think that those 3 months, they told the story over and over. I sort of think in those 3 months, they said, I can't believe what God did for us. They both believed it. They both believed what the angel said. I don't think Elizabeth had any doubts when Zacharias came and told her, we're going to have a baby. They both believed God. But they said, I can't believe what God's done for us. I can't believe that God has chosen to use us in this way. And so Zacharias heard all that. He knew that his son was going to be the forerunner of Christ. He knew that Mary's son was going to be the Messiah. And so he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he's visited his people just like he promised that he would. And verse 69, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Just like the promise that he made to David. He's raised one up from the house of David to be the Messiah. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. He said, God, what Zacharias was saying, God has told us all along that he's going to do this. From the beginning of the world. I mean, from the Garden of Eden. When God told Adam and Eve, hey, the serpent is going to crush the head of the descendant of Eve. The descendant of Eve is going to crush the head of the serpent. From the very beginning, God has tried to tell mankind what he was going to do. And that's what Zacharias was talking about. He said, verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. The Messiah was not only going to provide spiritual salvation from sin, but the Messiah was going to establish his kingdom and set on the throne of David, and the Jews were going to be free from their enemies. That's the kind of Messiah the Jews are still looking for. Jesus didn't come that way the first time. They're looking for the Messiah that's going to come up and set up an earthly kingdom. And Zacharias was talking about, verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the agreement that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Zacharias was blessing the Lord because he realized and knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. Again, he doubted it when Gabriel first told him, but he had no doubts now. God's keeping his promise. God's finally keeping his promise about the Messiah. And then he turns and talks to his little baby boy, just an infant, 8 days old. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. He said, son, you're going to go before him to prepare his way. You're going to tell people that he's come. You're going to tell people why he's come. That's what John did as he preached. He said, there's one coming after me. He said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. There's one coming after me who's the latch on his sandal. I'm not worthy to latch up. The Son of God. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Again, God was keeping his promise. He's bringing salvation. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. He came as the light of the world. Those that sat in darkness, under the penalty of sin, he brought light to, and he brought peace with God. Verse 80 is all we know about John the Baptist's childhood, his young adulthood, all we know about him until he came on the scene and began to prepare the way for the Messiah. And the child grew, waxed strong in spirit. What that phrase means, wax strong in spirit. The spirit is that part of us that God made to commune with him. Strong in spirit means John the Baptist drew closer and closer and closer to the Lord. That God drew him closer and closer and closer to himself. And was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And again, I don't know how long John kept his parents. I don't know how long Zacharias and Elizabeth lived after he was born. Could have been as he had him until he was a teenager. Could have been maybe into his 20s. I don't know. But he spent some years alone in the wilderness with God, getting ready for the task that God had made him, called him to do, to be the forerunner of Christ. So we talked about when we first started, Luke was writing this history of Christ, and went back to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and the visit to Mary. Now again, I love the way the Lord's working out the timing, because we're going to be talking about Jesus' birth and the Christmas story and the shepherds through the month of December, as we celebrate Christmas. So glad you're here tonight. We got a good God. I'm glad he visited mankind with a Savior. Glad he showed his mercy to us and sent somebody to pay for our sins. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. The men and the ladies will be praying after we get done. And so please, if you'd like to join them, please do that.